Rogan watch. I am a real
American. I'm Scott, NDX, and this is Hogan Watch. Over the weekend, Nick Hogan was involved in a minor accident in downtown Los Angeles. There were no injuries. Police came to the scene, but no report was taken. Ironically enough, he was coming back from a charity event to raise money for an organization called Keep It On The Track that teaches people to drive safely. You can't make this stuff up, folks. I'm Scott NDX. This is Hogan Watch. Stay tuned for OWW Radio.
ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, poof. All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
Online, World of Wrestling, OWW Genesis, WTR, Wild Talk Radio Networks. I'm Nick Anthony on the forums broadcasting from the entertainment capital of the world, Los Angeles, California, and you're tuned in to Online World of Wrestling Radio. OWW Radio, man, where fans and legends come together. Whether you are a viewer of WWE's Monday Night Raw, ECW, Superstars, or Friday Night SmackDown, we want to hear from you. What about the other shows? TNA Impact, man, Ring of Honor, the Indies, we talked them all, including MMA, man. We want to hear from you. We made it simple for you with our toll-free telephone number. Write it down. You're going to need it. It's 888-357-9876. Again, 888-357-9876. Hit option 2 or dos for my Mexican amigos. Email address radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. That's radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. All right, man. Thanks for being a part of the program. Nick Anthony, Aaron Kendrick joining me now. Come on in here, Aaron.
Hey,
Tuesday evening here in the States. Tonight on the show, in our second hour, we have heard and seen in the past some great in-ring generals. Or talent that was great in the art of ring psychology, right? Talent like Ted DiBiase, Dusty Rhodes, and a manager, Bobby Heenan, for crying out loud. But how do you prepare for that status? How are you groomed for it? How do you select a persona and determine whether or not it can or will be over with the majority of fans? Well, Dr. David Reese, our guest this week, is a consultant to the CAC on the issues of in-ring personas and gimmicks. David has been a psychiatrist for 20 years or so, and has written articles that have been featured throughout the country. He will be hosting a lecture on in-ring psychology at next year's CAC reunion in Las Vegas. But first, he will join us here on OWW Radio. David Reese, our guest next hour on OWW Radio on the art of ring psychology. In the meantime, this hour, PWTorch.com, they're reporting that the WWE has explained the 2009 pay-per-view decline. WWE is saying it's because of the economy and folks watching together in groups. We'll talk about that and take your phone calls as well on that topic. We did a poll on the topic on our different sites, Genesis and WTR. We'll share the results of the poll and see if the WWE's explanation is actually a fact or is it fiction. Also in this hour, current industry news, views, and opinions, the match of the week with Aaron T.A. Kendrick, your phone calls, emails, all coming up on OWW Radio. But first, the big story out of the WWE yesterday involving its developmental program on TV, ECW, that's what Jim Cornette called it, remember? This story out of PWInsider.com, it says, the news wire is abuzz with the news that there are major changes coming for the ECW brand in 2010. Sources have indicated that the ECW brand will be dropped and rebranded in its current time slot. Mike Johnson of PWInsider.com has confirmed that WWE have had a number of meetings with Sci-Fi regarding a rebranding, and the ECW letters may be gone in 2010. A new brand would almost certainly focus on the younger talent filtering through from FCW, which has become the case over the past years. A lot of feedback, as you would imagine, followed this story on Genesis and the mailbox of OWW Radio. So that brings us to the email bag. And Tim, if you're ready, you can go ahead and hit email for OWW Radio. Go for it.
OWW Radio.
Email.
Email.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Emails.
This posted by T-Man on OWW Genesis. He wrote, I've considered ECW the best WWE show since they decided to get the main eventers out and put the mid-carders who need a rebranding and the new guys who need to get over in there. I mean, Punk vs. Morrison. My personal favorite feud in the WWE over the last few years was there. You look up the wrestlers who have come and gone through WWE and ECW since 2007, and you'll see some great A guys. What do you think, Aaron, about this, the rebranding of ECW by the WWE?
Well, personally, I think it should have been done a long time ago because, I mean, whoever that was in the intro to our show that said they need to put it where it belongs, ECW is nothing but the developmental program on TV.
Jim Cornette.
He hit the nail on the head. And, I mean, it should have been done a long time ago because that's all they're doing. I mean, they fired all the originals, so why keep the letters? That's my thoughts.
That's true, too. Jim Cornette was right on the money when he said that. And moreover, he was right on the money about the way they're using Christian and the rest of the headliners. I mean, these guys headlined in their careers, and here they are on this third-rate program, stagnant and not going anywhere. Here's my opinion on it, though. I don't think anyone really cares. I don't think anyone really gives a rat's you-know-what on the branding of ECW. Besides the glitz and glamour of a new call sign for WWE like a shiny new toy for Christmas, will anyone continue to watch ECW or whatever they decide to call it, this new footnote because of a name change, a set change? I wrote on Genesis, what the hell they rebranded ECW for? No one was watching that crap anyway. No one thought it was the original ECW with the WWE moniker on it. We aren't that stupid, are we? Why not rebrand the garbage that is Raw now? Why not rebrand that? Monday Night Raw hasn't been Raw since, let me see. Way before the $1 million giveaway crap did it, for sure. Before this garbage guest hosting with Mini-Me on it. Before the Vince limo bomb. We got to go all the way back to maybe 2002.
when the NWO was brought in, when Vince said he infected the WWE with a virus. Would you say that was the last time you thought that Raw was really Raw? The Raw that brought you to the WWE? The Raw that had you every Monday night on the edge of your chairs? Look at the content that, had been broadcast in 2002 up until now, 2009. For one, Triple H was the main draw, and he proved to be a poor draw at that compared to Hogan, Rock, and Austin, who were there around the same time, right? Two, you have the lack of a tag team division, which only feud and supported the singles division over the years for the WWE. Three, The Rock splitting, he getting the hell out of there. Austin getting the hell out of there. Four, and probably the most important negative, was the McMahons taking the forefront of the invasion angle and putting themselves over before the wrestlers. No wrestlers really benefited from that angle. No new stars were made. And we can go on and on and on and on all the way up till now, 2009, and the guest host spots on this program week in, week out. The countless times DX has been pushed down our throats, John Cena, over and over and over and over again. Maybe Vince was right on that episode. Maybe Vince was right when he said that. He infected the WWE. He infected the sport, and the sport will change forever. Maybe he was right. He did infect it with a virus, because the industry has been ill danger ever since. 888-357-9876, 888-357-9876, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Why not start there? Rebrand Raw. Do you agree?
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All Time Polls, What If, Fair Foul, even an e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Get ready to get sinful Thursday nights here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey, take a walk on the wild side.
Join our own Cindy Sin.
She's a babe.
As she opens up and talks about anything.
Anything.
And everything on her mind.
You can ignore me if you try.
Nothing is taboo. From sex talk to food to sexy cars, clothes, you name it.
Hi there, big boy.
Do I make you horny?
Oh my gosh.
Anything goes. You can get in on the fun and ask Cindy about anything at all.
She tests very high on the strokeability scale.
By calling in during the show.
Thank you for calling.
Anything goes. Thursdays at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, I'm a biatch, baby.
Every single Wednesday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics, and you lead the discussion.
That's the bomb, but it gets around the center.
Havlett. Havlett with sharp shoots. What a stop by Kiprasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better shot. They score. Justin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth. The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's worth away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Candice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Remember, push option 2 on your phone. Radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Nick Anthony, Aaron Kendrick, OWW Radio. Again, 888-357-9876, option 2. Rebranding of ECW. You guys looking forward to that? Rebranding. It's still going to have the same superstars, I'm sure. You're still going to get, what is that show with Tony Atlas? Abraham Washington show, right, Aaron? You're still going to get that. You're going to still get that that mess.
Andy Richter.
Yeah, it's horrible. Let's see. Let's go to the news. We start off at Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has announced that Kevin Steen will address the crowd after his match with El Generico against the Young Bucks at the Final Battle event. While nothing is certain, it appears as if Steen will announce that he is taking time off to deal with his knee injury. That from PWInsider.com. The company is very, I'm talking about the Ring of Honor. The company is very excited about the internet pay-per-view for December 19th, a final battle event in New York City. The next set of Ring of Honor tapings on HDNet will be held on January 8th and 9th at the arena in Philadelphia. HDNet has gotten more involved in the tapings lately, which is probably a good sign for their relationship. That's good. I can't wait for Ring of Honor to do some live pay-per-views, though.
Oh, man, that would be great.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Because if they weren't on HDNet, which is a huge deal for them, I know, but if they weren't on HDNet where people actually have to buy the program to watch it, I think they would be huge. They're in my opinion, they're far ahead of TNA, in my opinion. Minus the pyro and things like that. They're wrestling wise, they're ahead of TNA.
Pyro don't matter when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah, well, with TNA and WWE, it doesn't matter. But we'll get to that in our fourth segment when Ring Psychology comes in the picture. More news involving Ring of Honor. Steve Corino is booked for December 18th in Virginia and December 19th in New York as well. Eddie Edwards is back from elbow surgery and is working the current Pro Wrestling NOAH tour with his arm heavily bandaged. Chris Hero is also working on that tour. So great to see Eddie back. Also, Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette will be making his HDNet debut on the 7th of this month for Ring of Honor. I'm looking forward to that. And basically, what Jim Cornette is on Ring of Honor is the same thing that Hulk Hogan is on TNA now. I think he's going to instill in-ring psychology of old into the new guys and further escalate the careers or the mindset of the Ring of Honor guys. I don't know if Hogan can do that with TNA because these guys are pretty much set in their ways and think they're, you know, their you-know-what doesn't smell over there at TNA, probably. But we just have to wait and see. But I think Jim Cornette's going to do big things over at ROH, and I'm looking forward to it. 888-357-9876, option 2, 888-357-9876. Remember to push option 2. Other big news, TNA final resolution card has been finalized. Mick Foley and Abyss versus Raven and Dr. Stevie. Team 3D, Rhino, and Jesse versus Matt Morgan, Hernandez, the Pope, D'Angelo, the Arrow Man, and Suicide. It's going to be a Feast or Fire Battle Royal where Beer Money, Kevin Nash, Jay Lethal, Creed, Cody Deaner, Samoa Joe, Sheikh Bashir, and Kiyoshi at Homicide. They'll be going at it in this Feast or Fire Battle Royal. It's going to be a last man standing match on the card as well. Bobby Lashley versus Scott Steiner. What do you think of this this feud, Bobby Lashley versus Scott Steiner? Of course, Scott Steiner got the win over Bobby Lashley on that last card. Remember that? That was pretty good. I didn't expect that to happen either because Bobby Lashley just got into the promotion. The boss, he's getting this huge push, I guess. And Scott Steiner, he's still pushing this Main Event Mafia thing, which is dying out quick, man. I didn't expect him to lose to Scott Steiner.
Well, yeah, I didn't either. Seeing what they're doing with Steiner, like, making him try and act like there's still a Mafia when there's not, it's like they're just basically making fun of him, and they give him this big win against Lashley. I don't get that.
You think Hulk Hogan, with him coming into TNA, you think he might be a member of the Main Event Mafia and maybe try to do a rebranding of his own for TNA with the Main Event Mafia?
I hope not, because you remember what the NWO did to WCW.
Yeah, they just kept growing and growing and growing, and it just ruined the promotion big time.
Yeah.
Also on that card for final resolution for TNA, Knockouts title, ODB versus Tara. There's going to be a TNA tag team title match, the British Invasion versus the Motor City Machine Guns. 3 Degrees of Pain cage match. What the hell is that, man? It's going to be Kurt Angle versus Desmond Wolfe. What is that match, Aaron?
I have no clue. I'm telling you, gimmick matches in TNA. Vince Russo comes up with some of the craziest stuff.
Let me see. Fall number one. Oh, okay. So it's basically fall number one, pinfall. Fall number two is going to be a submission, and fall number three, I guess you got to escape the cage there.
Well, it's basically two out of three falls,
I guess.
Well, why in the world are they calling it all that crap?
Yeah, 3 degrees of pain cage match. Rolls off the tongue, too, doesn't it? All right, TNA World title match, the main event. is going to be AJ Styles versus Daniels. You know about their rivalry. They're supposed to be best friends and whatever else they are. They're going to be going against each other in this card.
I hadn't seen that one before.
Yeah. That from WrestlingObserver.com. Bad. Jeff Hardy news real quick before we go to break. We'll hold over match of the week until next segment possibly, Aaron. Quick break after the Jeff Hardy news here. Jeff Hardy returns to court tomorrow for his probable cause hearing. If he is determined that he committed the crimes he is charged with, the case will then go to the grand jury. If it goes that far, the grand jury would then decide whether or not to criminally indict Hardy. If he is indicted, the case would then go to Superior Court, unless there is a plea bargain made, which I think it will be. If a plea bargain is made at some point, the case will be continued for, well, this case is continued from last month, which was partially due to the result of drug tests not returning. Jeff Hardy is now facing the following charges. He's facing felony possession of cocaine, felony drug trafficking of opium, man. Jeez, this guy was doing the hard stuff. Felony possession with intent to redistribute a Schedule 3 drug. That's two counts. And maintaining a dwelling of drug and use and or distribution and a possession of drug paraphernalia. That's a misdemeanor in the state. All right. Let's take a quick break. I'm not going to take any shots at Jeff Hardy, man. Everybody knows about Jeff Hardy and what a loser he is and what he did to his career. Everybody knows about that. He cut off his hair now. You hear about that? You hear about that story? You hear about the story he cut off his hair?
I don't get into men's hygiene and looks and all that like you.
Okay, easy, Aaron. Easy, Aaron. You're the one that was, you know, we won't go into it. All right, quick break.
I was in a long time ago.
Dude, you better erase that, too, on your signature, man. That when did I even say that? That's not true, first of all. Erase it, because I never said it.
You did.
All right, let's take a quick break, come back with the story that is making headways, and that's the pay-per-views for the WWE and what WWE had to say about it. Coming up next here on OWW Radio, 888, what is the number? 888-357-9876, option 2, 888-357-9876, 888-357-9876, option 2. Quick break.
OWW Radio.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. Clickwrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out wtrproductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
Hey, The Answer here, better known as William McConnell, co-host of Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Just letting you know, you can keep it tuned here to Wild Talk Radio Network every Saturday night around midnight or midnight and a half at CB Radio, the show with no conversational boundaries.
If you want to get in on the fun, go ahead and call 267-97-1397. Tell them you want CB Radio, and we'll play your voicemails on the show. Or, if you're a little shy, go to wildtalkradio.com and join us in the chats and talk to the fellow listeners and the hosts themselves live while they do the show. So remember, if you're bored, feeling a little lonely, or just want to say nothing to no one in particular, do yourself a favor. Call the number.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
Phone line, shall we? Let's see. Who's on the line? Who's this? Who do we got, Tim? Who is that? I don't hear anyone. Caller,
hello?
You're on. Yes, go ahead. You're on.
This is Aaron.
Is this Nick?
This is Nick. Who's this?
This is Mr. Renegade Redneck, your partner.
Renegade Redneck.
Sean, that's good.
Does that mean you're Daniel from OWW Genesis, The Truth? What's this? Who is this now? You said Sean?
This is Sean Cloth. I'm the head of advertising with the Empire Wrestling Federation.
Oh, what's up, Sean? Man. Oh, okay. Let me let you guys know this. I went to an EWF show. When was it? The day after Thanksgiving, man. And I seen this one cat. Yeah, EWF, Jesse Hernandez. You guys know who Jesse Hernandez is, right? Bill Anderson and Jesse formed this EWF, indie promotion out in the Inland Empire. Bill walked away from it. Jesse continues to maintain it and run it, its day-to-day actions, to this day. The promotion is a huge success. I was out the day after Thanksgiving, man. A holiday! A freaking national holiday, man! And the place was packed, Aaron. Are you listening to me? The place was packed!
Hear you.
For this indie promotion in little old Inland Empire of Southern California. Oh, it was West Covina, actually, but whatever. But the promotion's out of Inland Empire. I went there. I seen this one kid. What was his name? Cadillac. Chris Cadillac. Scott, you tell me this guy was wrestling for, what, 2 years? For crying out loud?
Correct, yeah. He hasn't been wrestling very long at all. He's all over this coast.
And this guy was doing spots that was unbelievable. Look him up. Cadillac, and also the EWF promotion here in the Inland Empire. Jesse Hernandez and the boys there at EWF. What's up, Sean? What are you going to talk about, man?
I'm just listening to your guys' show. You guys are doing a fantastic job, and just very excited about this upcoming weekend and on December 12th. We're really looking forward to it.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it as well. Let me ask you, what do you think about this rebranding of ECW by the WWE? You got any opinions on that?
What do you think about this crap?
Well, you know, I kind of have, you know, I'm kind of up in the air on it, to be honest. You know, I like watching WWE, you know, WWF, whatever you want to call them, whether you're old school, whether you're new school, whatever, you know, whether you're a kid or whether you're, you know, a grandpa, grandma, you know, you've watched them. And I got my own personal opinion about it, and I think, you know, they have a lot of work to do with that promotion. However, I think that they're doing, you know, the best they can, in my opinion. But, you know, it's hard to, you know, have three promotions and have all the talent split up between the three, in my opinion.
Why not just grab the talent that's on ECW and filter them through SmackDown and Raw? Why have this tri-brand thing going for the WWE when we know it's not getting the viewership that WWE stands for or goes for? Why not just get rid of the whole thing?
Well, I mean, it makes money. Whether you see that or not, I mean, it still makes money. And, you know, Vince is a very smart man. The whole McMahon family is extremely smart. And, you know, Stephanie and Shane will end up inheriting, you know, the whole WWE brand once Vince and Linda both are passed on. And, you know, he'll be there for a long, long time.
Yeah. That's for sure, Sean. I want to thank you for your call, man. I'm looking forward to this Saturday, man.
Yeah, I am, too. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem, man. There he goes, Sean Claw from EWF. He's a marketing executive, marketing advertiser, whatever you want to call him. He's one of the guys over there at EWF. Check it out, the EWF promotion, Jesse Hernandez, there in the Inland Empire.
We need to try.
Southern California, man. All right, let's see.
Cadillac on the show because you just put that kid over.
Yeah, Chris Cadillac, man, this guy. Speak up a little bit, Aaron. I can barely hear you, man. Chris Cadillac is a stud, too, man. I mean, he was flying all over the place. I mean, it, just outstanding wrestler. 2 years. That's what Sean told me. 2 freaking years, man, he's been training. And this guy's the way he is. Incredible.
You just put that kid over, man. We need to try and get him on the show because now you've got me interested.
Yeah, well, it's all true, too, man. 888-357-9876. 888-357-9876. Option 2. radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com is the email address. Ah, running out of time. All right. PWTorch.com. It's the big article this past week. WWE has come up with an explanation for their steady decline in pay-per-view buys. That more people are gathering together to order pay-per-views in order to split the cost in this tough economy. False! When it comes to me, I've said, and the folks I know around here in a watching wrestling, it's all false. But let me continue with the story. WWE hasn't used that explanation before in each of its recent quarterly conference calls with investors, trying to explain to investors why pay-per-view buys have declined in 2009 compared to 2008 and 2007. Quote, one of the things we've seen is that the number of people watching is going up. There may be one person ordering and three families coming over to watch it. WWE product in general is a communal experience. That from a WWE marketing executive, Michelle Wilson, in an interview with Adage.com. The more plausible explanation is that customers are choosing one pay-per-view on each billing cycle, which is usually why the Backlash pay-per-view following each year's WrestleMania drops 70 to 80% in buys compared to WrestleMania. Wilson said WWE is dropping the number of pay-per-views as a result. So one of the things we're looking at 2010, this Wilson chick, one of the things we're looking at 2010 is one pay-per-view per month. So people don't have to decide whether they want to pay-per-views in a single month. Wilson said people do make those hard decisions in a down economy. Wilson didn't acknowledge WWE's increasing the pay-per-view buys $5 to a base price of $44.95 to recoup the lost revenue dropping one pay-per-view event next year. The price increase might also turn away customers seeing a $50 charge on their cable or satellite pay-per-view with taxes included. Well, isn't that it right there when you think about it? Wouldn't that be it? This chick, Michelle Wilson, said earlier in the article that people do make those hard decisions in a down economy. Wouldn't this qualify as one of those quote-unquote decisions? Seeing $50 every month on your cable or satellite bill on top of the packages you already have got in place can be an easy decision if you ask me. Now, I made the decision. I dropped to one pay-per-view a year, WrestleMania, and canceled my WWE On Demand subscription. Didn't need that anymore. Now I'm back to the normal package and $60 that I have been dishing out for that crap product that we've been watching from WWE, which is my reasoning, Aaron, why the WWE buys pay-per-views have declined rather than the WWE's explanation. There was a report earlier this year, dude. There was a report earlier this year that the producers dug up. This from 411 Mania. July 30th, 2009. It says, yesterday it was mentioned that the combination of Triple H, Randy Orton, John Cena have in some way faced each other 24 times on pay-per-views. In that time frame reference, hold on, dude, let me get it out. In that time frame reference, there were 51 events with at least two of them on the pay-per-view. And some combination of the three wrestled 28 times on those 51 pay-per-views. Even worse, and the main reason we are also tired of the combination is that since SummerSlam 2007, there have been 26 eligible pay-per-views with 17 matches involving the threesome. By the way, these numbers get really nasty if you add Shawn Michaels and Batista to the mix. Just using those same 51 pay-per-views, some mixture of Cena, Orton, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, or Batista have wrestled and main evented on 44 of those 51 shows. And it's more since you don't count multiple matches on the same pay-per-view. And the WWE wonders why buy rates are down? That from 411mania.com. That's it right there. Need not say another word. The lack of other wrestlers being pushed in this promotion has crippled the profit margin for the WWE, and now they blame it on us and the economy. Us watching in groups, they say. Well, let's check that explanation from the WWE. We had a poll. We had a poll up on the different sites, Genesis and WTR. Last time I looked was yesterday. Corey, you have updated numbers for me? Give me some updated numbers when we go to break, and then I'll come back with the updated numbers. But as of yesterday, well, the poll simply asks first. It asks, do you watch or buy the pay-per-views alone, in groups, online, after the results are already revealed, a week later, or do you have another way? How do you get your pay-per-view fixed? The results are revealing from when I seen it yesterday. We'll get the updated ones after the break. The majority from what I seen was, it wasn't a fact what the WWE tried to spew out to us. As of yesterday on Genesis at 11:11 p.m., when I looked, 60% read the results during the pay-per-view. From websites like Online World of Wrestling and Wrestling-Radio.com. Now, on the Wild Talk Radio Network website, the Wild Talk Radio Network, same thing. Some folks ordering the stream on the internet, which means PC, personal computer. I don't know how many of you guys sit around with your buddies watching a computer monitor with wrestling on it. I don't know how many of you guys do that, but I'm not judging. I'm just pointing out that the WWE and this chick Wilson that I mentioned earlier has her head up her you-know-what with their explanation to the shareholders. What'd you say?
I said we're live here. You can't talk like that.
Yeah, I know. I edited myself. We'll get the updated numbers when we go to break. Let's go to break real quick, Tim. 888-357. What is the rest of it? 357, what is the number? 9876. 888-357-9876. Option 2. We'll be right back here on OWW Radio. Go ahead, Tim.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Give me back the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site for pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
What's this about Screw Anything Goes? Mace seems to think he doesn't have enough commercials, so I got another one for him. If you want to listen to WTR's favorite Aussie, tune in on Fridays. Target Practice, one of the newer shows on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you want to hear an Aussie talk about anything and everything, tune in every Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, 888-357-9876, option 2, 888-357-9876, man. Updated numbers for WWE buy rates, man. It moved up to 40% on WTR, remained the same on Genesis. So pretty much the WWE lied to us, lied to you. Lie to me about how they blame it on. We're watching the pay-per-views in groups, they said, Miss Wilson. Thank you, Miss Wilson. Ha! 888-357-9876, option 2. 888-357-9876, man. All right, coming up in like 10 minutes, I guess. A little less. Dr. David Reese, the psychiatrist, will be joining us for the whole hour on the topic of the art of ring psychology. We have seen wrestlers of the past demonstrate this quality that for sure isn't taught but acquired over time and a natural feel of the sport. I'm talking about guys like Ric Flair, Jake the Snake Roberts, Steamboat, DiBiase even. On the forum, we brought up this topic, and this is what you guys had to say about it. Turley wrote in, the first thing that has popped into my head is that there is nothing subtle about ring psychology anymore. It is painfully obvious when watching guys like John Morrison that they have no grasp on selling a fence. It isn't done subtly. If he is going to sell an arm, then that is all he does for the match. The whole story has to become the arm energy. In years past, this would be taken in the wrestler's stride and it would look natural. It was part and parcel of the performance as required as the finishing sequence. Watching the up-and-comers like John Morrison makes me wonder if it has become a dying art. It just seems so forced. Clearly, it is no longer as important as it looked or a promo. That's a great point, Turley, but you mentioned promos. And promos are a huge part of wrestling and getting the fans involved and understanding the viewpoints of each wrestler. Yeah, the WWE has done more talking than wrestling that distract the wrestling and focuses more on that. But a good example of how to merge the two to create the ultimate in-ring general who could talk on the mic and make you believe whatever he was saying was real and serious, as well as backing it up in the ring with his movesets and selling and everything else, that would be Jake the Snake Roberts, right? Now, in a minute, we're going to play a clip from Jake the Snake Roberts. But before we do that, somebody's on the line. You want to go to the caller first? All right, let's go to the caller first. Who is this? Caller on the line. You're on the air. Who is this?
Caller,
you're on the line.
Nobody?
All right. We won't go to him then.
We just got ripped.
Yeah. No kidding. All right. Shock on the Forum wrote involving this topic of in-ring psychology. This promo is one of my all-time favorites. He doesn't scream. He doesn't shout. He speaks with patience and wisdom.
Like he's stalking you, like a snake.
Yeah, exactly. Jake endorses the million-dollar man character. He summarizes their year-long feud, and Shock says, I remember watching this when I was 11. I was hyped for the match. This is what wrestlers supposed to do. Go ahead, Tiff. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Jake the Snake Roberts, the match is at hand.
Well, well, the million-dollar man, Ted DiBiase. Here we are at WrestleMania, and it's the biggest match of your career. Why? Because everything you stand for is on the line, namely the million-dollar belt. Oh, yeah, it can be yours once again. You see, all you have to do to get it back is go through Damien and me. But you see, Damien and I, don't forget, we remember all the times you made people grovel for your money. These were people far less fortunate than you. People who could use your money for essentials. And what did you do? You made fun of them. You humbled them. And you humiliated them. Well, now it's my turn. I'm going to make you beg, DiBiase. You are going to get down on your hands and knees. This time, you'll be the one that's humbled. This time, you'll be the one that's humiliated. And this time, you will be the one that grovels for the money. And how appropriate that the money you grovel for is your very own. A victim of your own greed, wallowing in the muck of avarice.
Longfellow couldn't have said it better.
That from WWE WrestleMania 6 promo, Jake the Snake Roberts. We got a call from a professional wrestler who weighed in on the topic that we'll play into the break leading up to our next hour with Dr. David Reese on the art of ring psychology. Let's take the phone calls first before the top of the hour. Phone caller, who is this on the line? You got about 30 seconds, dude. Who is this? You're on the line.
Horseman for life.
Who?
Horseman.
Oh, Horseman. What's up, man? What's going on?
How you guys doing?
I'm doing all right.
I've been waiting to talk to you.
Aaron, you got to speak up a little bit louder.
Psychology, huh?
Yeah, we're talking about ring psychology and the lack of it, Paul. So tell me, some of the wrestlers that you grew up watching, I know, had in-ring psychology. They were wrestling generals, man, weren't they?
Well, I'm going to throw you guys a curve and mention Hogan's name.
Really?
Everybody knows I'm down on Hogan.
Yeah.
But the reason why he kept that formula of winning every match every time was because during that match, he conveyed to the fans that this was the time he was going to get killed in the ring.
You know what? I'm going to go.
He believed that Hogan was finally going to lose this time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the psychology. I mean, he knew how to sell it. He, you know, you watch a Hogan match. He comes out big on the offense.
Yeah.
You know, yay, our heroes at the offense. Well, then he gets. They cheat and beat him down. He tries to come back a couple times. They keep cutting him off. And see, that's the biggest part of the psychology a lot of people miss is the cutoff. Nowadays, you beat down the good guy, and he takes heat, and then he comes back. Well, if he comes back every time, then it's not that big of a deal. What you want him to do is try to come back and fail several times. And that's what Hogan always did. Every time he tried to come back, you know, he'd come back a couple moves, and they would, you know, they'd rake his eyes. You know, they'd pull some kind of a quick cheat to bring him back down. And then finally he would have to Hulk out to be able to finally get over the beating he was taking to come back.
Exactly.
He had to have something help him, and it was the fans' reaction that did it.
You are absolutely right, Paul. Man, you are absolutely right. And you know what? Shockage, he did mention Hogan as well. But I didn't put two and two together, but you're absolutely right. He was getting beat. Hogan was getting beat time in and time and again. And every time he tried to mount an offense, he would get put back down and begin getting beat again. He sold everything.
And before he did, like when he was doing stuff in the NWO, where he would, like when he just totally unsold Vader. That right there, people talk about how Vince doesn't, you know, has lost touch and stuff.
Yeah,
Hogan and WCW wasn't underneath Vince. Vince understood that. Like, Hogan, when these guys attack you, you need to make it look like you're going to die. No, you can't recover from it. That way, when you go into, like, when, you know, when they had Earthquake, you know, squashing, and they taped the ribs up. Oh, my God, you know, big Earthquake broke Hogan's ribs, and now he's got a wrestling. You know, you just knew that Hogan was done for. Well, when he went to WCW, and he got his own control, it was all about what Hogan wanted to do. So Vader comes out there and hits Vader's big move. What is Hogan do? He stands up and doesn't, like, no big deal. So when you have this match now, we already know that Hogan can take anything that Vader gives and get up and win. So the psychology of it was lost. You didn't believe that Vader was a good enough bad guy to beat Hogan that you did when he was in WWF under Vince.
Wow.
Right. Paul, you're absolutely right, man. Thanks for weighing in, coming on and telling us about this, man.
No problem.
888-357-9876, option 2, 888-357-9876, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Way over, man. Tim, we got to go to a break. Let's go out with the big Val Puccio, who called in on our OWW radio line. 888-357-9876, this big Val Puccio. From the old ECW days. What's up, Big Valentino, man? See you next hour here on OWW Radio. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, this is Big Val Puccio, and talking about ring psychology, my opinion. And my opinion is total offense. Never stop moving. Annihilate your opponent. Overpower him. Manhandle him till you get that three count. Wear him down until he's a shell of a man. Till he's either ready to tap, that his body has had just too much punishment, too much abuse, or you nail him with the stiffest clothesline, the stiffest suplex, the nastiest pile driver, till it's lights out and you get the three count. Either way, you do not give up. You do not stop. Even if the crowd is booing you, use that as fuel to hate your opponent even more. Stiff, loose, light, tight, snug, all these bullshit words annihilate your opponent. Fear nothing. If you fear anyone, you shouldn't be in this ring. This is not entertainment. McMahon made it entertainment. This is the real deal. You ain't telling Killer Kowalski this is entertainment. You ain't telling Bruno Sammartino this is entertainment. Yeah, Dusty Rhodes was flamboyant. Gorgeous George was flamboyant. They put on a show. But these were rugged men. Tough as nails. So yeah, my opinion. I have a lot of opinion about a lot of things. You have a great day, my man. Ciao.
OWW Radio.
Are you an avid tabletop gamer who doesn't have the time to sit and customize all the finer details in your miniatures? Then check out Burning River Model Works for everything you need to complete your tabletop miniature sets. Burning River Model Works specializes in custom bases, painting, and also miniature restoration service for all of your tabletop strategy games. Pricing varies depending on difficulty, along with the amount of time spent on the model or base. Shipping, as always, will be insured and sent to you via priority mail. For complete details, contact Drew by email at brmworks@yahoo.com or by telephone at 330-304-2025. Burning River Model Works. Custom miniature work for the avid tabletop strategy player.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Your body parts and rip them off.
one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
I don't know any but Jesus. I just went through this whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, poof. All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I have ever saw. And I'm not lying.
WW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
David Reese has been a practicing psychiatrist for over 20 years, recognized internationally for his expertise in understanding and working with character and personality dynamics. Dave has performed more than 10,000 psychiatric evaluations of persons from diverse social and cultural backgrounds from every occupational field. He has given lectures and seminars and had multiple publications in academic journals and non-academic media. Dave's practices have been based mostly in San Diego, California, with extensive contacts throughout California, the East Coast, Ontario, Canada, and many other places. Over the last few years, Dave has been doing more writing and speaking and has been working in non-clinical fields that he enjoys, including nonpartisan political pundry and professional wrestling. He's a fan of wrestling since childhood and always intrigued by the unique aspects of professional wrestling that differ from almost every other form of sports entertainment. Dave learned about the Cauliflower Alley Club through the OWW Genesis Forum, where Dave is a registered member. At the April 2010 CAC reunion that's going to be held in Vegas coming up next year, Dave will be presenting seminars on the psychology of professional wrestling with particular attention to understanding the mindset and motivation of wrestling fans under the auspice of the CAC. Dave is also working with young wrestlers to be able to use their own personality traits to develop more effective ring characters. It is our pleasure to welcome to OWW Radio this week's feature guest, David Reese, MD. Dave, welcome to OWW Radio. Glad you can be here with us.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right. Tell us a little bit about, I know I gave briefly your background. You've been in the field for 20 years. You grew up watching wrestling, I'm sure.
Right.
Who were some of the figures that you looked up to or put into your head at a young age, and you said, well, wow, I wonder how he came up with that gimmick and the ring psychology that he's putting forth week in and week out. I wonder how he came up with that.
Well, you know, my history goes back to, well, I don't know how many years ago, but watching with my father when I was a kid, Vern Gagne, Bobo Brazil, a lot of the old guys, and those days I was too young to really understand much of what was going on, but I really enjoyed it. Later on, I became much more intrigued when I was in school in Chicago, and I was watching back then Bruiser, Crusher, Bobby Heenan, Oxbaker, that crowd. Really enjoyed watching them, really enjoyed the persona, and became very intrigued of who these people were, how they were doing what they were doing, and the impression that I was making on both myself and the other fans.
Right. And of course, you mentioned Bobby Heenan. Now, he's one of the – and a lot of the managers in whole are great ring psychologists, I guess, are the way they tell a story and bring the story, make it realistic, basically. A lot of the managers do that, and Bobby Heenan was great at that, wasn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you one quick funny story. I was at a restaurant in Moline, Illinois, and Bobby Heenan walked in with a couple of wrestlers who I didn't recognize.
Yeah.
As soon as he noticed that the patrons were noticing him, he basically orchestrated the guys to just put on a little act for us all. And it was beautiful what he did.
Yeah. For the CAC, you've written a lot of articles dealing with the topics. I know you are working with some current wrestlers now in developing in-ring characters. How do you determine which character best fits
a person? Is it the personality?
Ideas are to use a person's basic personality type.
Mm-hmm.
We all have different aspects to our personality, those we like and those we don't like. And I think the more that you can use yourself while staying grounded and while staying within yourself, but the more that you can use your own personality to develop the ring personality, the more convincing it's going to be, the more sincere it's going to be. So I work with people to try to really understand where their face personality comes from, where their heel personality comes from, and within whatever gimmick they like or choose or tool to use to really be themselves, I'll put a bit over the top with it.
You and I spoke about that a little bit, I guess, yesterday. But, you know, as I was talking to you about it, you started making me think, you know, about, like, some current personas in the WWE and how ridiculous some of them can be. And I was thinking, you know, like, I came up with a list of names, and I was going to ask you about a few of them and maybe get your opinion on, like, if you think that gimmick should be with that person or if you think it's just really ridiculous. So, let's see. I'm going to start off with Goldust.
Sorry, with who?
Goldust.
Okay. There are different types of characters. There are those who are basically just people, but over the top. And then there are those who are really, really fantasy characters. Goldust is someone who, on one hand, can be attractive to, in a sense, the younger audience. It's a gimmick. It's almost cartoonish. But on the other hand, I think he's done an excellent job of taking that character to a place where, as much as being a fantasy character, it has some attributes that can connect with adults also. It depends how the character is used, but I think he's been very effective for the most part in using it in a way that gets across well. I've noticed most recently he's been, even when he hasn't really been the face, he's been getting a pretty good pop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. When you look back at 80s professional wrestling, do you think that they went through this this type of development and bringing in their own personality into, let's say, a macho man Randy Savage? Do you think they took these type of steps in determining their in-ring gimmick or their in-ring persona?
Well, you know, I think it's very tricky because if you can bring in your own personality and use it effectively, it works very well. On the other hand, if you get lost in it in either direction, if you bring in too much of yourself and not enough of really the over-the-top character that you need to be, or if you bring in too much of your own personal life, you can start losing some of the audience.
For example, Ric Flair there, huh?
At times Rick has brought in some personal stuff that probably would have been better left out.
So Dave, are you opposed to wrestling fans calling wrestling fake?
Yes. in a simple word, yes. We can talk about whether the outcomes are predetermined or not, but there's nothing fake about what goes on in the ring.
Because you mentioned... You
have opponents actually trying to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from MMA. But let's not forget that every match, there's some real competition going on, and I don't care whether you're talking about the Indies or the WWE, but people are competing for position, they're competing for prestige, they're competing for where they're going to be on the card, and they may be working with each other in the match, but they're all at the same time competitors, which is something that strikes close to me from my horse racing background, where I can be very friendly with other horsemen. When we're out on the track, we're protecting each other's horses, but at the same time, every race is a competition.
Right. And I bring that up because you said something about alternative reality opposed to being fake. these gimmicks, when you bring in your own personal lifestyle or your own personal traits to the gimmick, and the storylines that involve that gimmick as well, you can't really call it fake because it's something that can happen and actually may or may not have happened, right?
Right. I mean, there are points of reality that are stretched. I mean, we can look at simplistic issues like how many times have you seen a shoot fight, be it boxing, MMA, or a street fight, where someone ended up with a bloody fart, but no bloody nose, no bloody mouth, or black
right.
eye.
Yeah,
but that's
funny.
An agreed-upon alternative reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fake. There's something going on that's very real. It's just within a different reality that's actually much more real than you'd get watching a TV show or a movie where you know it's an actor all along and you never really lose the sense of it being an actor to the same extent.
All right. You have any other wrestlers there, Aaron?
I do. Here's one that just recently, out of nowhere, changed from a silly gimmick into a serious gimmick, and that's Festus.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I just saw that last night, and I'm not sure exactly, you know, where they're going to go with that. I think done right, that might work. You know, I think that the whole issue of CM Punk is a very interesting issue from a social and political point of view, in that here you have someone who's presented a straight edge, but at the same time is now a heel. In effect, you have the crowds rooting for someone who's promoting anti-drug use.
Mm.
There are some very careful stones to step on in that regard, and I'm not sure where they're going to go with that with Festus.
Well, the storyline with Festus and CM Punk bringing him, I guess, out of his, I don't know what you want to call that mental state that he was in, right?
CM Punk said that Festus was on drugs at the time of his old gimmick.
Right.
So maybe this can make sense in some way.
Yeah, it might be a way. I don't know how they're going to pull it off with CM Punk staying as a heel, because it's rather controversial that way. But I could see where it could be an interesting angle.
Right. Right. Fan reactions, Dave. How do you compare fan reactions with wrestling fans compared to boxing or MMA? What about movies and baseball, football, things like that?
Right, I think they all have some similarities, but there are also some differences. The wrestling fans are much more in tune to the person, to the personality. You know, if you think of your average football team or baseball team, a devoted fan may know everybody on the team, but most people are going to know one or two big names. And really, unless they hit the newspapers or Tiger Woods this weekend,
right.
They're not going to know a heck of a lot about their personal life or their personality other than what they see on the field.
So, Dave.
And they're more interested in performance.
So, Dave.
Whereas in wrestling, the personality is an integral part of the entire sport and of the entire performance. If you compare it to MMA or boxing, you have a difference because you expect people to get hurt. You expect people not to return. Whereas in wrestling, that there's really an implicit expectation that both good and bad are going to survive. They may be totally beat down. They may be totally wiped out. But other than for the few real squash matches, they're going to rise above their injuries and come back. Obviously, that's not really the case or the intent with boxing or MMA. And, of course, movies and TV are a whole different area where you know it's an actor and you don't expect that they're going to be anything like their character as soon as they're off the set. Whereas I don't care how sophisticated you are about wrestling, when you meet someone outside of the ring, you still sort of expect them to be the same character.
All right. You mentioned that wrestling fans know a lot about a particular character, that one particular character. You mentioned that earlier. A lot of wrestling fans are into video games as well, right?
Yeah.
And I guess you can say somewhat of the loner crowd. They stick to themselves, right? That's my opinion, and that's how I grew up. Because wrestling is basically, and we talked about this earlier in the show, in the first hour. I watched wrestling growing up, and I was by myself because wrestling fans were kind of looked down upon. Everyone said it was fake. It's fake. I didn't want to hear that it was fake. I thought it was real. So I didn't want to hear that. So I tend to stay by myself. Everyone looked down upon wrestling, and to this day, they kind of still do. It's more accepted now, but they still, in some way, shape, or form, look down upon it. What do you say to people like that who look down on it? And do you see any connection with other sports or boxing or MMA?
Well, yeah, yes, and obviously that stigma attached to it, and it does tend to make people more isolated and not mention that they're fans. Like even personally, now that I've been more involved and talking to friends and colleagues about it, I've been shocked by how many secret fans have come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Never would have mentioned it if I didn't bring it up first.
Exactly.
Exactly,
and that's my point. A lot of people secretly watch wrestling, and I don't know if it's a mental thing or not, but they hide it because they don't want anyone to know that they're watching it. Exactly, they don't want to look down upon. And here we have a news article, we talked about it earlier, that the WWE has out saying that their buy rates are down because people watch in pairs, or they watch in groups. Because of the economic situation that we're having here in the States and abroad, which may or may not be true, but I tend to see it hard to believe that that's the way it is. Because personally, the way I grew up watching wrestling alone and knowing other people who watch wrestling alone, and like you mentioned before, David, the secret wrestling fans out there that you would have never thought watch wrestling, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very paradoxical because some of the people who on the surface look down at wrestling, then watch MMA or boxing where people are really hurt and are really damaged intentionally, and they won't have the same negative feelings about wrestling.
Exactly.
Which has a very different ethic to it,
mm-hmm.
and actually in some ways a higher ethic to it. So it's rather paradoxical, but that's where society's taken it.
With Linda McMahon running for Senate, Connecticut there, do you think that the WWE and wrestling in whole will become more mainstream in the public eye, it be accepted more than it is currently?
Well, without getting into the politics of it, of course, I think if she does become more in the public eye, there's no doubt that both sides are going to be bringing wrestling much more into public discussion in the mainstream media. You can't even find it on a sports page or anywhere, but it's going to be much more in discussion. Whether that turns out to be good or bad, I'm not sure. It will depend how it's handled. And it's going to be a fine line for her to walk, regardless of her political affiliations, on how she handles her connections with wrestling, and whether she tries to disavow or distance from it, or embrace it and present it as something that is useful to society in certain ways, even if at times over the top. I think the problem is going to be really differentiating between what is for adults and what is for kids, but that's a whole different issue.
All right. We'll take a quick break, come back with more of David Reese here on OWW Radio. Dave, I'm going to ask you when we come back about determining a face and a heel character. And Stone Cold Steve Austin, which one was he? Ah, huh? We'll be right back. OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
You're dealing with the X Factor. I got everything I ever wanted, and I'll never give that back.
Yo.
Oh, I know you hate the X Factor, but you ain't gotta look at me like that. I said you ain't gotta look at me like that.
Hey, everybody, this is X Factor. And you're listening to the Wildcat Radio Network.
You run around pulling stunts like that. See, never in my life could I front like that.
I ain't caught like that. I couldn't run like that.
Not that. I'm two words for you.
Shouldn't have taken my hat off.
Suck it.
Remember back when things looked grim. I spent a lot of money with time off.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a
slinky. Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This one. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shiniko's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
Alright, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rule, Chapter 7. Subsection
15. Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Tuesdays, 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wrestling Talk has nowhere left to hide.
Running the Ropes is your definitive source for wrestling news and a more realistic perspective on a wide spectrum of topics.
No politics, no scripts,
no fake gimmicks.
Join Maverick and Nick on Running the Ropes, the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area, every Thursday at 6 p.m., right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the evolution of online entertainment.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. 866-543-OWW0. 866-543-6990. Nick Anthony, Aaron Kendrick here on OWW Radio, joined by David Reed, psychiatrist for over 20 years. He's joining us now. We're breaking down basically professional wrestling and the mentality of, and also picking your gimmick. Whether you're a heel or you're a face, and that's what we're talking about right now. I brought up Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dave,
In the 90s, he was brought in. Of course, he was the ringmaster when DiBiase brought him in. He turned into Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Attitude Era. And he, in my opinion, he wasn't a babyface. He was not a face character. Yet, he was, a lot of people think he was. In fact, he was a heel.
Right. I mean, he was a character that just attracted the attention and attracted allegiance and really blurred the lines between the face and the heel.
Mm-hmm. It was more of his personality, which what you were talking about earlier, his personality that came into play, that took over his gimmick and became, I guess, real life. I mean, I'm sure he's not all the way down to the soul stone cold in real life, other than beating up on Deborah occasionally. But I'm sure...
It's the best wrestlers that you never really know.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, those are the ones who are doing their job the best when you really never know where they draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they do in their personal life. But the fan, if the fan never really knows, all the better.
How do you decide a face or a heel character?
I don't really look at it that way as much as helping people to develop both. Because we all have both sides to us. And, whether you're talking indie or TV or pay-per-view, the promoter may ask you to take either role. So I think it's the ability to get into whichever side of your personality you need to. Now, some people may be more natural faces and others more natural heels. But I think you need to be able to find the part of you that can sympathize with the audience, even if you're heel, and the part of you that can be nasty as hell, even if you're the face. It's a matter of really developing that and being able to pull it off consistent with the storyline.
All right. Nick mentioned Stone Cold a minute ago and how he had an attitude that started the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
And he was really, he fit the heel part of the plate, but fans seemed to like him.
Right.
And one man who seemed to really not understand this and who was the victim of this transition was Bret Hart.
And he was supposed to be the babyface in this whole
right.
picture too, but he turned into the heel. Same thing with
right.
CM Punk of today.
Exactly. That's the next one I was going to ask about, CM Punk. So, basically, Bret Hart was just being, he'd come out every week and would talk about how crimes in the United States would just increase every week after week. And in Canada, it was like a brotherhood. And there was nowhere near that many crime rates. And yet people booed him for telling the truth. Well, they were cheering Stone Cold for being the bad guy.
Right. In a sense, what he was doing is bringing too much reality into the ring.
Mm.
Because the fan doesn't want a very clean morality play. They want the complexity. They want the ambiguity. And, of course, you can cross the line sometimes. I'm not going to say I agree with everything that's been done all the time. But if it's a very clear good guy versus bad guy, it's going to get boring. And there are those who do it well, and even before Austin, Randy Macho Man did that fairly well, I think.
Yeah.
Jake the Snake had an aspect of that, where he could be vile and at the same time a likable guy in a way.
Dusty Rhodes.
And I think if you go back, a lot of the best wrestlers, even when they're heels, there's a part of them that's intriguing, that you connect with. Jericho these days,
mm-hmm.
You could hate what he's doing, but on the other hand, something likable about the guy. So I think, I surely don't want to talk for Bret Hart, but perhaps he was taking it a little too literally and a little too black and white as to who the heel and who the face is and what that means.
But you also have to take it a fact that the generation that we're living in are the times that we're living in as well, David. Like back in the 80s, man, and the 70s, most fans would probably agree with Bret Hart rather than Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Yeah, there's been a definite change in that. I mean, it used to be much more clear-cut. And then the transition was difficult, and complicated, and people got caught in the middle. I think that has been a generational change. In a sense, wrestling has become more true to even, you know, the Greek tragedies, to the myths, where even the heroes were flawed, even the villains had good parts. And it's gone from more of a comic book black and white to more complexity. When that's done right, it's extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. When it's done wrong, it loses the audience, and it's just confusing. But doing it right is psychologically extremely powerful.
2 weeks ago, there was a story about, what was the lady's name? I can't remember the wrestler's name. A big story. We did a show about it last week.
Molly Holly. Mickey James?
Yeah, Mickey James. Thank you, Eric.
Right.
Mickey James and her weight issues with the WWE and how they're, you know, they want her to lose weight. They're doing a whole storyline over there.
Right.
The WWE wants their divas to be a certain weight, and Mickey James isn't following that. Isn't that bringing a little too much reality into play?
Of course, my question is how much of that is a work? I don't know the inner politics, I wouldn't pretend to say, because, I mean, Mickey James was very effective when she became tearful the other night and really got over. Now, how much of that was real, how much of that was politically putting pressure on her, and how much of that was part of exactly what they wanted to do, I don't know. I think if all the divas look the same, it's going to get awfully boring. I think there is surely room for people who don't fit the Playboy model type, and there's some better matches. But exactly where they're going with that, I'm not sure, and how serious the management is, I don't know.
Another story. This one from, I don't know, 2 years ago. It was before the Chris Benoit situation. Where Vince McMahon was blowing himself up in this limousine on Raw. Would that be too much reality?
My feeling was that I think that getting the McMahon family involved was very intriguing, and they did some very interesting things with it. My concern was that, in a sense, it minimized the skill of those who had been training for years and really paid their dues. To say that anyone, and surely not just Vince and his family, but actors or celebrities, can suddenly get in the ring and do an passable job just isn't really true. I mean, I'm sure Vince really worked at it. I thought that it took a little bit away from, as I say, the alternate reality to bring in someone who everybody knew as a more real personality. Sure, a bit over the top, but he was the owner. And suddenly he's involved in the ring in a way that is actually challenging wrestlers with a hell of a lot more skill than Vince ever had in that area.
Right. With other sports, you have play-by-play guys, you have color commentators, as well as in wrestling. How much in wrestling does this help with getting the fans over on the particular product, whether it's TNA, Raw, Ring of Honor, what have you?
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting because especially when you compare, I know it's personally comparing my own response to watching it, whether it's on TV or pay-per-view, as opposed to a house show where you're not hearing the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different. I think the announcers certainly can add a lot. They can make it very dull if they go in the wrong direction. They can be distracting if they go on with stories and miss the action. But they can surely also very much add to it. If you look at it at the house shows, all the story is being told in the ring, and you can really appreciate not only action, but the pantomime, the overly large gestures that you don't really appreciate on TV, but can appreciate live, that this is an art form that, without announcers, still tells the same story. But surely the announcers can add a lot to it.
Yeah, with
or take away from it.
Yeah, with saying that, I went to WrestleMania when it was out here at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, and what I learned or what I found out is that I kind of like having the announcers there telling me, you know, look at this, look over here, look what's happening here, rather than me sitting there and just watching the action. I kind of got lost in it, just like, wow, look at that, look at that. And I got lost without looking at the other things that's happening around the place.
I agree. I mean, personally, I agree. You know, I once went to a taping here in San Diego, and this goes back a lot of years. It was a triple taping. I don't remember exactly what shows, but it went on for like 6 hours. And the same guys, yeah, a couple guys who were carted off on stretchers 2 or 3 times in the same show. But, you know, we saw, it was Gorilla and Bobby at the time,
yeah.
But we couldn't hear them, and it really lost something.
Yeah.
I mean, the action was great. But not knowing where to look, not really being directed to what was going on, to me lost something.
And then you get familiar, you get comfortable with those announcers as well, and it's like a some type of brotherhood or family that you want to hear those guys, but you can't.
Well, and their personalities become part of it, too.
Exactly.
And I've been through kind of the same situation a few years back. I got to go to... and. It was back when the new ECW first came about, and they did a live event at the Pineville Convention Center, which was where the very last actual ECW event took place. And only about half, this arena only seats probably 300 people, and it wasn't even half full.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there was one match, they had an Extreme Rules match, I won't ever forget this. It was Tommy Dreamer against Test.
Yeah.
And in the front row, there was an ex-Army veteran, and he had lost his leg over in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And during the match, I got so lost in this because it was so crazy. But Tommy and Test left the ring, the guy in the crowd went to the opposite side where I was sitting, where there wasn't hardly anybody over there, and about half of my section ran all the way across and, like, just started ganging up around these two, and Tommy grabbed a beer from somebody and took a drink of it and spit it all in Test's face, and they made their way back around, they got in the ring for a minute, and Tommy started unloading with about everything he could find, and I just kept getting lost in this, and I remember seeing him get a cinder block and put it over testicles, and he grabbed a Kindle stick and just started beating him with it.
Right.
And then he slides out of the ring, goes over to this Army vet, and the Army vet, like, everybody's screaming, use his leg, because he held it up the whole night at every wrestler that come out. He held it up all night long. So Tommy finally saw this, and he goes over there and just, you know, you could tell this wasn't scripted. And he went over, grabbed the leg, went inside, and gave Test a low blow with it. And lo and behold, the next week it was all over WWE.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember getting so confused, like, what in the world is going on? Because I'd never seen anything like it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an amazing story. And, you know, it also speaks to, you know, being able to use the audience as they are and to play off the audience, as opposed to just being scripted. You know, the announcers can play into that, but the announcers particularly are in sync with the wrestlers, and even if they're not anticipating what's going to happen, if they can react to what's happening and lead the audience reaction,
good point.
That really adds to it, as opposed to letting things become distracted or confusing.
All right. With that, it was a great segue into our next segment. Let's take a quick break, come back with fan reactions to different types of matches, Dave, right here on OWW Radio, 866-543-6990, radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Quick break.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. Clickwrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your travel agent. Call Tripology toll-free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
WW Radio, Wild Talk Radio Network, online, worldofwrestling.com, man, 866-543-6990, Nick and Aaron, also joined with Dave Reese, psychiatrist for 20 years plus, he's joining us here on OWW Radio. By the way, David, you have a email address or anything like that that you want to share with anybody?
Sure. Hi, anyone wants to contact me, welcome to DMRESS@gmail.com.
All right, man. Before we went to break, we were talking about that great story that Aaron had about Test and Tommy Dreamer. Tommy, was it Test using the vet's leg?
Tommy used the prosthetic leg on
Test, yeah.
And his testicles.
Yeah. Yeah. fan reactions to different...
Not what it was meant for, but...
Yeah, exactly. Is that what Test means? Is that why they got the name?
I don't know. I remember around 2002, late 2002,
yeah.
Him and Stacy Kibb had the little gimmick going on, and he called all the fans the testicles.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah.
Dave,
I don't know.
You talked about broadcasters basically showing are talking the direction of a match, the way that they want the crowd to react to the match. Explain to us fan reactions to different types of matches, main events, undercards, squashes, and things like that, extreme submission.
Yeah, I think that there's a psychological difference. You know, obviously the main matches, everybody gets up for. And I think the one thing that I like to say about the main events is that the best main events are ones where the fan, feels, no matter who they're rooting for, they really cannot imagine either person losing.
Hmm.
That both figures are so powerful, or all four or six, however many are in it, are so powerful, are so over the top, that you really can't imagine any of them being defeated.
Right.
A good
example would be Shawn Michaels and was it The Undertaker? Yeah, Shawn Michaels.
Yes,
and Undertaker.
Yes. Halfway through the match, even you thought this can't end.
Yeah, it was great. That was a great match.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think it goes the other way in undercard matches where you'll have too many finishing moves.
Hmm.
You know, my personal view is a finishing move should by and large be a finishing move. If it's not a finishing move, it loses its power. On the other hand, when you have a gimmick like The Undertaker, who his whole gimmick is that after suffering a finishing move, he suddenly sits up, that's his thing. That's great. But some of them actually, undercard matches, I think go a bit too far in having too many spots, too many finishing moves, and then it takes away from that move really being definitive and finishing.
Okay, with that said, Dave, what about other wrestlers, like, taking in a particular match, same promotion, another wrestler taking that finishing move and using it just within the match itself? For example, the DDT of Jake the Snake Roberts. Someone could use
right,
the DDT.
I mean, I remember the days when the DDT, and it was all over.
Yeah.
I remember Terry Taylor once being DDT'd on a chair, and it was like you didn't think he's going to wrestle for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now you could have three or four DDTs in the middle of a match, and
exactly.
A few seconds later, you know, you have a turnaround.
Exactly.
I think that's distracting. I think that the selling needs to be a little bit better at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it loses the fan a bit. If someone's kicked in the testicles three times and 5 seconds later is up at full strength, something's lost. You got to sell it a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Full strength.
Say it again.
You know, I see a number of matches which just turn around too quickly.
Mm.
Or I'd like to see a little more drama, a little more selling some of the moves, especially the finishing moves if they're done in the middle of the match. And as you say, if someone else is using the move and it really doesn't have much effect at all, it loses on, you know, the figure four, you used to be, that ended the match, period. Now people get out of figure fours more often than they submit.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of like reversing it.
Right,
they completely break out of it.
You know, when you would see them struggle and reverse it, that was great.
Yeah.
But when someone's in it, grabs the ropes, and then a few seconds later, you know, lifts twice, but then is at full speed, that loses something.
Exactly. How do you reach both the young fan and the adult fan without being over the head of the kid or insulting the intelligence of the adult, Dave?
You know, I think that's difficult. I think to one extent you have to define what the promotion is about. There are some promotions that you know, especially on the indie scene, that are more devoted to the families, to the young fans. And you want more comedy, you want more comic book characters. You don't need quite as intricate stories, and you don't need as extreme wrestling. And that's fine, and that can be wonderful. On the other hand, there are some storylines which are going to be totally over a kid's head. You know, the kids are there for the action. They're there for their favorites. They're there for the fun of it. The adults are there often for a reason that they don't even realize, where it's getting to the depth of their psychology, their underlying fears, their underlying anger, where it's not just a show or acrobatics or watching a fan. It's really getting to the heart of something emotionally. And I think if you try to do too much, you risk losing one side or the other.
More with David Reese when we come back here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
If you want to know the time, look at your watch, cell phone, or computer screen. We're kind of busy here.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every other Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth of the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Nick Cassidy, Aaron Kendrick, also David Reese joining us here on the program. One more segment with you, David, to wrap up the show here. Now, we were talking about entering psychology of professional wrestlers and how they're able to tell a story throughout the whole pay-per-view or the whole show week to week. And we're talking about being over the head of kids or insulting the intelligence of adults. What were you put the WWE in this scenario? Because they're certainly not pandering, or should I say they are pandering, to the kid demographic rather than us adults who still watch the promotion.
I don't want to get into a lot of the politics of it, but I think they're still trying to find their way to some extent. Because obviously, they're going PG, and they're trying to take down some of the more violent, take down the juicing. But on the other hand, they're still going with some storylines which for kids would be very confusing or maybe even questionably inappropriate. I think you have to really look at what audience you're going for, and it's never going to be clearly one or the other. But you need a different theme, you need different types of storylines, and you need the consistency. The kids will just go for the moment. The adults want the consistency. They want to come back week after week and see the story continue. They don't want to have it just switch midstream.
Who, in your opinion, are some of the greatest in the game, past and present, when it comes to the art of Ring Psychology?
Oh boy! I mean, there's so many. I really hate to specify anyone. I think if you look at today's wrestlers, I think there are some men and women who are really good at what they do. Yeah, I mentioned Jericho. I think, you know, even Mickey James' performance the other night was really right on. You know, even the Hardy switching from face to heel and back, they've done a good job. I think it's the people who really love the sport, love what they're doing, and put themselves into it. Going back, and there are so many that it's hard to even begin listing the names. You know, there are some people, without getting to names, that have been more comic book characters, more one-dimensional. But it's the people who can go back and forth to any type of match from any perspective who really are the artists, really the ones who I think will grab the audience and always hold the audience. Even if their name may not be quite as famous, they're the ones who are going to bring people back into the seats and buying the pay-per-views.
Mm. So has wrestling in whole, we know it has changed over the years, but can it go back to that basis where it started from with the in-depth promos and our in-depth ring personalities and gimmicks and things like that? Can it go back to that? Can we be restructured or re-educated to believe that, you know, these moves do hurt and things like that? And maybe we can crack down on some of these backyard wrestling promotions that injure people year in and year out, huh?
Right. You know, I mean, obviously we can't go back to where most of the audience assumed that every match was absolutely real. You know, that's been lost and that's not coming back. On the other hand, we can go forward. And I think we can go forward to make it more consistent, to make it more intriguing. I think that there's room for integrating the changes that have occurred with what's lost from the past and bringing back from the past some of the power, some of the emotional power, the intensity, without necessarily having to go back to the old days and the way it was, but integrating it with what wrestling is now. And I think that, you know, all the organizations are working on that one way or another. I think we're in a transition and probably will be for another number of years.
Well, how do you feel the blurring of lines between definitive good guys and bad guys that affected the art of the basis of professional wrestling, the psychology of it, I guess?
Well, I think that there are some characters that, you know, just are made to be good or bad, and they're not going to get over the other way, and that's fine. And they're good at it. As long as they don't do the same shtick over and over, then it can get a bit boring. They still have to work on changing their personality a bit, taking a new task. Again, I go back to one that just strikes me, which was Jake, who you never could predict where he was going to go, you know, as opposed to someone who's always going to do the same thing over and over. I think that the switching between heel and face is intriguing and very much adds to it. Obviously, you know, there's hardly any tag teams that don't eventually go against each other, although there's some that maybe are never meant to go against each other. But I think the vast majority need to be able to move back and forth. Now and then you'll have a character that just has to stay where they are or is just suited to that. But I think even those, as I say, have to be able to move the character in different directions.
Wouldn't you think John Cena would be a great heel character at this stage of his career?
I think it would take a very interesting storyline to produce that, but if it could be done, it would be wild. I think you'd have the fans all over, all over those matches.
Absolutely.
It would just have to be done very carefully. If it was done too precipitously, they could get lost.
Well, number one, Dave, all the fans that love him, whether professionally or professional, whether professional wrestling, they love him as that way, or just they just love the lifestyle that he lives, I guess. I don't know. That gimmick lifestyle that he lives. But they will remain his loyal fan base. But what about the fans that dislike John Cena? They would love to see him being taken down by a babyface and things like that. But the buy rates would be going through the roof, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Because, you know, he's, you know, one of the most controversial wrestlers right now, in that he's not controversial.
Mm-hmm.
He's so straightforward that you have those that love him and those that hate him. But his character stays the same. And if he could move his character so that he took with him the fans who were not going to leave him no matter what, but also generated the heat from the ones who were just waiting for the chance to really openly hate him, it could be masterful.
In my opinion, Bret Hart had that same type of heat. He went heel character, and the people who really loved Bret Hart stayed with him. And the people who hated him, they loved seeing him get his butt kicked every week.
Yeah. And even, you know, he wasn't really a main eventer much of the time. But you look at someone like Greg Valentine, you know, who was for the most part a heel, but he could still hold an audience. And as much as he was such a good heel, he was so much a technician in the ring that you could admire him, you could root for him, even when he was the worst heel.
Yep, absolutely, and I completely agree with it. It's, as well as DiBiase, man.
Yes.
As well as DiBiase. Wow.
Yep.
All right, David Reese, what's your email address again, man?
Again, dmreiss@gmail.com.
Gmail. I'm sorry. dmreese@gmail.com. Where can we find some of your writings, Dave?
The best place would be the Cauliflower Alley Club site, which is www.cauliflowerallyclub.org. And that has a number of my writings on it right there.
All right, Matt. And for the CAC 2010, what do you have planned for us, man? I'm going to be there, by the way.
I'll be giving two seminars on ring psychology, and I'll also be doing some individual work with wrestlers on developing their persona.
Are you allowed to tell us some of the promotions you're working with right now?
Right now I'm doing it under the auspices of CAC, but I'm open to anyone calling me who'd like to.
All right, cool. David Reese here on OWW Radio. We'll be right back to close the show here at 866-543-6990, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Dave, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. Really enjoyed it. This is Dave Reese. You're listening to OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay. Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay. Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All Time Pose, What If, Pharaoh Foul, even an e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one heard it. That one heard it.
All right, that about does it. Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Your video is produced by our executive producer, Corey Morrow. Sock, our senior administrator, Dave K. Mancave with Old School Wrestling, Scott NDX, the NDC, Ramon on MMA, Ping, and Aaron, TNA Kendrick. Aaron, you still with us, man?
Yeah, man, I'm here. I enjoyed that interview, by the way.
Yeah, man, it was great talking to Dave. He talked a lot about different topics there, but mainly the face heel gimmicks and how he's able to pick them out and help out a lot of wrestlers in this stage of their career and their life even. Brad Dykins is the editor and chief of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Jason Dedrich is the owner. Thanks to the callers this week of taking the time. Also, our guest, Dr. David Reese, who also can be found on OWW Genesis. You can send him an email at dmreese@gmail.com. That's dmreese, R-E-I-S-S, @gmail.com. Aaron, go ahead. What you got to say, dude?
Well, a little disclaimer to the listeners. We apologize for not being able to get to the match of the week. Tomorrow, as soon as I can, I'll get on the site and I'll post a match of the week on there. And as for the affiliates, we're on iTunes. As you all know by now, you can go there now to the iTunes store, search OWW Radio, and subscribe. And don't forget to leave us any feedback, man. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/OWW Radio. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and wrestling-radio.com. Can't forget our newest affiliate, WTRWildTalkRadio.com. We're on WTR Networks live every Tuesday, so we're on Wrestling-Radio. I already got that. CheekFight.tv, QuickWrestle.com. Sign up there for $2.95 and get some of your favorite demos from some of your favorite wrestlers. OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums over at OnlineWrestling.com. OWW Radio gets its news from F4WOnline.com, WrestlingRadio.com, and also PWInsider.com, and our home site of OnlineWorldWrestling.com. You can email us at radio@OnlineWorldWrestling.com, or you can call into the studio anytime toll-free and give us feedback or questions or whatever at 1-866-543-0-6990. Nick?
Next week, Slam Wrestling's Kenai Andrews joins us. You can check him out at KenaiAndrewsOnline.com. Man, looking forward to Kenai, former co-host to OWW Radio. Otaku Talk Live is next here on WTR, man. Online World. I'll see you on the forum. Otaku Talk Live here on WTR. Sorry, guys. See you next week.
Ghost crowned young child's fragile eggshell mind. Blood in the streets in the town of New Haven. Blood stains the roofs and the palm trees.
Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
OWW Radio.